the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue, was and is a very important place in the lives of Jewish people. It's where Jewish people would go to pray, worship. It was the center of their social activity. It was a place where the kids were educated, where they learned Hebrew, and of course, they learned more about their faith. The Jewish synagogue played an important role in all aspects of Jewish life. So it's no surprise then that Jesus spent a fair bit of time teaching in the synagogue whenever he could in Capernaum. And before he was teaching in Capernaum, he was teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth, but that didn't go over very well. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 says, all the people in the synagogue were furious. Talk about, you know, things don't always go as you expect them to go. All the people in the synagogue were furious. They got up, drove him, Jesus, out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill, and it says, in order to throw him down the cliff. For whatever reason, and well, we know they didn't like what they heard, they were ready to get rid of the messenger. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. And after that, Jesus went to Capernaum, where he was teaching regularly in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And the fact that Jesus spoke in the synagogue, and he even healed a man of demon possession in the synagogue, was not much of a surprise. What can be a surprise a little bit more is how much time Jesus spent with people in very ordinary circumstances. We think of Jesus, you know, and he's in the synagogue or he's up on the mountain praying and all these sort of holy things and holy places. But when you look at the life of Jesus, he spent an awful lot of time in very ordinary situations. Jesus met people at their workplace. He met people while they were eating meals. He met people in their homes. He met people on the road while they were walking. He talked to people. He met people, of course, by the lake. He met people who were celebrating. He met people who were going out to bury their dead. He met people who were facing serious charges against them. He met people who were often rejected by the community. He met people who were well known and of high position. And of course, he met many people who were not known at all and had no position whatsoever. Sometimes he took the initiative in talking to someone. For example, when he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he took the initiative there. And sometimes he responded to the invitation of others to come and speak. But it seems that whatever the circumstances, Jesus didn't stay put in the synagogue, and he didn't stay put out on top of the mountain. He was out and about connecting with people. He didn't sit back and say, well, people know where to find me if they need me. He was there. He got involved in the lives of ordinary people in very ordinary situations. He told a parable about a man who had 100 sheep. And you know the story, but bear with me as I read it again from Matthew chapter 18. It's just a few little verses. Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 14. Jesus says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that didn't wander off. In the same way, your heavenly Father is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. For Jesus, every one and everyone was important. There isn't any that he wanted to lose. And sometimes, actually many times, he raised eyebrows because of the places he went and the people that he talked to. I'd like for us to look at some of these examples this morning of the ways where Jesus went into ordinary places and did some amazing things. And the first example I could think of is the lepers. Jesus spent time with lepers in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Let me just take a look at that with us this morning. An amazing event that happens here. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell anyone about this, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Well, there is nothing very magnificent about being a leper in Jesus' day. The lepers were outcasts. They were literally isolated. They couldn't go near anyone, and no one could go near them. The law required that they are essentially quarantined, not just for 2 weeks, permanently. We have a trouble with 2 weeks, don't we? Yeah. And they had to wear certain clothes so that they were easily identified. They weren't supposed to be out in the public anyway, but if they were, at least they would be identified. And the worst part of it is if someone got too close to them for whatever reason, they would have to announce, "Unclean, unclean," referring to themselves, so that people would know to avoid them. And in Mark chapter 1, where we read, Jesus encounters a man with leprosy, and by all accounts, the man shouldn't have even been there. He had no right to be there as far as the law was concerned. But he was there. He came to Jesus. He begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, by the law, had every right to send the man away and say, "Go, you're not supposed to be here. Get back to where you're supposed to be. Stay away from everybody." But of course, that's not what happened, right? Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out and touched the man, and he said, "I am willing. Be clean." And as amazing as the miracle is, what's just as surprising to those who were in the area and seen this, witnessed this, was Jesus's reaction to the leper. Jesus didn't shrink back from the man. He didn't run off. He reached out and touched him. He embraced him. Jesus was there for that man. That might have been the reason why Jesus got up that morning, was for that man. And the point I'm making is simply this, that Jesus went out to where the people were. It didn't matter if they had problems. It didn't matter that they were outcasts. It didn't matter if they were looked down upon by everybody, rejected. He went out. He went out to where the people were. And not just the nice people. Not just the people who would have patted him on the back or anything like that. He went out among the people who were hurt and hurting. And it wasn't just adults that Jesus spent time with and he went out to and welcomed. In Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17, we find a brilliant response that Jesus makes when children were brought to him. Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 15, people were bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him, but Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." I have to say, I am so glad that I was not brought up in a home where children were meant to be seen and not heard. I have heard others say that they were brought up in that kind of a home, and I don't know what that would have been like. I'm just glad that mine was not like that. Children are awesome. They're a blessing. That's why we celebrate. That's why we get excited and count them off. 1, 2, 3, 16, 17. Who's going to be 18? But truth be told, children are also a handful. They're a big, big handful. We were blessed to have our grandchildren with us last night, and they're a total pleasure. I love them all. But they can be a handful too, and make a lot of noise and all those sorts of things. And I won't even mention diapers, but anyway, that's another story. Children. And so it's little surprise that when babies and children were brought to Jesus, the disciples, who thought they were doing Jesus a favor, tried to send the kids away. Jesus had more important things to do. Surely there were more pressing matters that needed Jesus' attention. And of course, who could hear anything when there's a bunch of kids around? "Don't bring your kids around here. Not now. Can't you see that the teacher is busy?" Well, Jesus was never too busy for the children. Don't you just love that? I do. Jesus was never too busy for the children. In fact, he said, we need to be like them. There were all kinds of needs, pressing needs, people who were sick and dying, questions, people that needed teaching, and there was so little time, and yet Jesus was not too busy for the children. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Jesus went out into ordinary situations in life. He didn't sit in the synagogue. He didn't spend all of his time on the mountaintop praying, but he went out. He went out where there were sick people. He went out where there was children in very ordinary, common circumstances of life. And he loved those children. You could tell a lot about a person by how they treat the vulnerable, the children. And we see that in Jesus. The vulnerable, the leper, the children over here. And then we also see how Jesus responded to those who were rejected. And for that, I'm thinking of none other than Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and there was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. You're going to get hurt." No, he said, "I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, Here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation came to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Well, paying taxes is no more fun today than it was back then. And it's even worse when the tax collector is a dishonest cheat and working for the very people who have impoverished you in the first place. No one had the time of day for Zacchaeus. If the clocks changed, they wouldn't tell him. As far as they were concerned, Zacchaeus was no good. Through and through, there was nothing good about Zacchaeus. He was the Mr. Grinch without any heart at all, never mind a small one. Most everyone would have snubbed Zacchaeus, turned the other way, pretended not to see him. Everyone, of course, but Jesus, right? Jesus comes along, and there he is, and there Zacchaeus trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. It's interesting that Zacchaeus had this interest in Jesus. Maybe he had heard about Jesus, his reputation, that he took time for those who were otherwise rejected. Maybe it was Jesus' message on forgiveness and peace. Or maybe it was simply the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But Jesus was coming, and Zacchaeus wanted to see him. And when Jesus sees Zacchaeus, instead of turning away, instead of hurling an insult, as many would have done, Jesus invites himself over for dinner. "I must stay at your house today." I love that. Can you imagine that? Can you just picture that in what was happening there? Zacchaeus, you know, he's probably up a tree, partly because he's short in stature and couldn't see because of the crowds. Maybe part of it too might have been he's trying to stay a little bit away from the crowds, right? Like, if there's anybody you'd like to trample, it might have been Zacchaeus. And Jesus sees him and invites himself over for dinner. "I need to stay at your house today." What strange words to Zacchaeus's ears. I don't know if he'd heard those words for a long time. "I want to come over and spend time with you." "With me?" "With you." Nobody else wanted to. Nobody else would. Rejected. Completely unexpected. Even scandalous. He has gone to eat at the house of that sinner. And he did go. And before the day was done, Zacchaeus was a changed man. He was that one out of 100 that Jesus cared about and loved and sought. Whether it was the vulnerable, the children, or the rejected, Jesus was out there. And that's the point. Jesus freely went out and about in places and situations where he would meet people. He didn't stay in the synagogue all day. He didn't stay on the mountaintop praying all day. He went out among the people because he cared. Because he cared, he wasn't afraid to get messy. Because he cared, he went out to seek the vulnerable, the children, the rejected. And you can probably see where this is going. The danger that we face today in our time is that we can so insulate and sanitize, if we can use that word today, our lives. We can so insulate and sanitize our lives in our little circles with our group of friends and totally miss out on the opportunity to connect with people in the community. But you see, to do so requires risk. And sometimes you will get rejected. But sometimes you will also get to be a blessing. Pastors Clayton and Pastor Kurt, we tease them about their obsession with hockey. They do have this obsession, okay? But it's through floor hockey that they've been getting out, before the pandemic at least, meeting people in the community, doing something that is completely outside of church life, and just going out where people are. And some of the people are great people, and some of them are pretty rough. Meeting people, rubbing shoulders, or when I was playing floor hockey, whacking shin guards. Whatever the case may be. But they were out there. Just a little example. And I guess what I'm saying this morning is simply this. We need to be out there. It's wonderful to be in our church, among our friends, in the faith community, to live our happy, organized, sanitized lives. But that's not what we're called for. We need to be out in ordinary situations, in ordinary places, and sometimes rough places. And sometimes we get messy. It doesn't always work out nice and neat, does it? Sometimes you get burned. But that's what we're called to be. To be salt and light in the world. That's what it is. Talked about being light recently. We're not just to sit back and say, here's my light. But we're supposed to go out and shine it as well. There's a lot of darkness around. It's not enough to spend time only with those who agree with us or get along with us or think the way we do. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What have you gained? If you stay in your neat little circle, well, that's good and that's comfortable, but there is more. See, Jesus had his inner circle, and he had his larger group of disciples, and he had his wider group of followers. There was always a place for them, and they needed his time, but he also went way beyond all that. Anywhere to meet anyone, regardless of how messy they were, to bring them hope, because they could be that one out of 100. And so my encouragement for you this morning, and maybe the question that I'd like to leave for you to think about, is how am I going out into ordinary places and rubbing shoulders with people? Is there a one out of 100 somewhere in my life that I can be a blessing to bring the hope, the love, the grace of Jesus, to bring the message of reconciliation? No condemnation now I dread. We sang that earlier. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have a great message, friends. Let's be free to share it as we are given opportunity, not just here, but there, wherever that there may be for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you today and thank you, Father, for your presence, for your grace, for your work, for your word, and Lord, for the example of Jesus, who didn't sit back and enjoy the comforts of the synagogue or the pleasantness of the holy places to sit and pray, but went out into the messy places to meet with people, to rub shoulders with the vulnerable, the weak, the children, the rejected, and even the ordinary people who, wherever they were. Father God, I pray that you would help us to be a people who not only have the light, but we're involved in this world to shine the light forward into other people's lives. Father, put it on our hearts to be able to take that risk, Lord, to be administrators of your grace, of your love, of your hope to a world that is in desperate need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.